everyone. Thank you for joining us for another installment of the Aquila Group of Funds podcast. I'm your host today, Matthew DiMaggio. Today we are accompanied by David Schiffman, Lead Portfolio Manager of Aquila High Income Fund. Thanks for being here today, David.
You're very welcome, Matt.
So I was just recently reading about the changing makeup of high yield, the high yield market, due to some downgrades, but also some upgrades out of high yield entirely. Seems like good news for the upgrades, but bad news for high yield in general. Can you speak to that?
Absolutely, Matt. As you know, there have been a number of high-profile names in the high-yield market that moved up in credit quality in recent quarters. Specifically, names like Ford and Occidental Petroleum moved back to investment grade. And as you remember, both of these names were known as fallen angels, which means they were downgraded from investment grade to high yield during the heights of the pandemic. These are extremely large issuers and represented a big portion of the high yield market when they were downgraded. However, you know, it seems like they got religion. Both companies worked really diligently to improve their credit quality profile, and eventually they met the criteria of the rating agencies to move back into the investment grade space recently. You know, although these names represented a really large portion of the high yield market, since they were, you know, such large issuers, it looked like, you know, if you look at it in terms of the actual number of issuers, you know, upgraded versus downgraded, we see a really different picture. You know, because Ford and Occidental Petroleum were such large issuers, it may have skewed that movement from high yield to investment grade and vice versa, but you know, thinking just in terms of the number of issuers, as I mentioned, it's a little bit of a different picture. As the corporate bond market bounced back from the depths of the pandemic, underlying credit fundamentals, you know, really improved pretty dramatically. And this really drove the upgrade to downgrade ratio. That's kind of the ratio that we look at in terms of the movement in credit fundamentals. So that really improved pretty dramatically after the pandemic, and this drove the upgrade to downgrade ratio to a 2-to-1 ratio in 2022. If you compare that to the ratio of about 0.3 in 2019 and 0.2 in 2020. However, since we peaked in 2022, we've seen kind of a steady decline in the upgrade to downgrade ratio from that large 2-to-1 ratio, as companies, you know, begin to struggle with slower consumer demand and higher interest expense. Yet it seems like the ratio of upgrades to downgrades is kind of settling in over the last few months on kind of either side of 1-to-1, you know, so really it's been an even match between upgrades and downgrades. And I suspect that the majority of these downgrades will likely be in the lower rated sector of the market, especially in high yield.
Great color. And it just seems like there's so many moving parts here within the high yield market. So I know you have your job cut out for you. I want to touch on high yield spreads, which is something we monitor from time to time. I've been watching them, and they seem to be trending steadily downward. What's your read on the meaning behind that?
Well, overall, as I kind of hinted towards, credit fundamentals have remained, you know, fairly stable over the last few quarters. Hence, you know, we're seeing, again, that upgrade to downgrade ratio hovering right around 1-to-1. Yet the option-adjusted spreads, as you rightly mentioned, especially in a high-yield market, continue to grind tighter. It's kind of a head-scratcher. We currently stand in a high-yield market with an option-adjusted spread of about 300 basis points. And that's down from 323 at the beginning of the year. However, you know, since we've seen an uptick in underlying U.S. Treasury yields as markets kind of price in Fed rate cuts, the overall yield to worst in high yield has actually moved up and stands at about 770 overall for the high yield market in terms of the yield to worst. And if you compare that to about 760 at the end of December, we have seen a little bit of a slight tick up in overall yields, although spreads have compressed. So as investors look to lock in rates at still what I would consider very compelling absolute levels, combined with a lack of net new supply in the market, we could expect to see spreads continue to move slightly lower in the coming months.
And I want to touch a little bit more on the CCC portion of the market. Looks a bit different in terms of spreads and how it's behaving. Of course, rates are high at the moment for investors at around 12%, but for the risk-averse people, we want to make sure they're aware that there's added risk for that portion of the market. Is the CCC portion, in your opinion, full of risk at this time?
Well, I guess it really depends upon, Matt, how you define risk. Let's kind of look at some of the numbers because you do highlight that CCCs, in absolute terms, hovering right around 12% in terms of the yield to worst. It seems like those types of levels are pretty compelling, especially compared to single Bs and double Bs. That 12% level looks really pretty interesting. And single Bs, if you compare that 12%, single Bs are offering you a yield of about 7.5%. Meanwhile, double Bs are hovering right around 660. So it's almost as though you can gravitate to triple Cs versus a double B or a single B. But of course, it's all about risk and return. So you are adding that incremental risk, and it's really up to investors to decide or portfolio managers specifically to decide whether or not it's worth it to dip down in credit quality to get that incremental yield. And you're not getting it for free. You are taking on that additional credit risk. But it seems like people have done that, over the course of the year so far, through the middle of March, triple Cs have been the best performing area of high yield. The returns on the triple C sector are a little bit over 2% year to date, compared to about 0.9 for single Bs and about 0.4 for double Bs. So obviously, there's a gravitation towards the triple C portion of the market, and some of that, I would say a good portion of that performance we've seen in triple Cs have to do with the grind tighter, as you mentioned earlier, in terms of spreads. We have seen a dramatic tightening in option-adjusted spreads in triple Cs. To give you an example, at the end of last year, the option-adjusted spread just on the triple C sector of the market was 775 basis points over comparable treasuries. That's tightened 53 basis points, and now we're right around 720 basis points over comparable treasuries. So we have seen, a pretty substantial tightening in spreads in the triple C sector, and that's really driven the performance, because as you know, underlying treasuries have actually jumped up a good amount due to the repricing in the market of potential rate cuts. The 5-year treasury, which we can kind of use as a benchmark for high yield because of the fact high yield has a fairly short duration. The 5-year treasury started the year at 385 and now is trading about 430. So 5-year treasuries have actually gone up in yield about 45 basis points. Meanwhile, the yield on triple Cs has actually gone down because of that spread tightening and really has given that sector of the market that good performance. And, I suspect that if we do see a bit of a downturn in the economy and rates stay a little bit higher for longer, what we're going to see in terms of, where do the cracks begin, it's likely going to be in the triple C sector of the market, because that extra interest expense that these more speculative companies are having to pay starts to become more and more onerous in terms of putting pressure on their balance sheets. And it seems as though if we get any tightness in the market, it may be more difficult for that CCC sector of the market to refinance their debt, and they may actually have to pay even more in terms of new coupons on the debt that they come with. So, yes, it's compelling. Yes, 12% seems very interesting. But it's all about risk and reward, and we think that probably being a little bit more conservative might be the right approach as we stand in this part of the rate cycle, because we could see some pressure first and foremost in that CCC sector.
Really, just fantastic detail there, David. Thank you for all your insight. You touched on the rate cycle, so let's touch on that big topic there in the fixed income market, which of course is the Fed and their decisions. The Fed decided to sit tight on short-term rates early this year. Seems the sentiment might be the same here in March. What is the high-yield market thinking about the rate landscape?
That's a great question, Matt. As I mentioned earlier, it appears market participants have kind of moved closer to Fed projections related to the Fed funds rate. Although the Fed's dot plots indicated about three rate cuts in 2024, at the end of 2023, markets were really building in a much more aggressive easing cycle in 2024, really anticipating probably close to six cuts priced into the market for 2024. Big difference compared to what the Fed was kind of implying to the market. However, we entered 2024, economic data has been more robust than expected, and inflation still remains stubbornly high. Hence, rates have bounced higher as the market is kind of now adjusting to the incoming economic data. And that's really driven high-yield rates a bit higher as well. With the labor market showing no immediate signs of weakness, I would say, and underlying credit fundamentals remaining, quite stable for most sectors of the market, we may experience a longer period of high absolute yields as the Fed stays vigilant in its desire to tame inflation without damaging overall economic conditions. In other words, Matt, we may actually see this soft landing that the Fed is kind of hinted that they expect. And I know last year a lot of people were skeptical of the Fed being able to pull off that soft landing. And the likelihood of a recession was approaching 60 or 70%. If you look at what economists are saying now, I think more and more people are in that camp that they may actually be able to walk this tightrope and get into that soft landing that I think people were skeptical of but hoping for, and now I think we're likely getting a bit closer to that.
Great coverage on all these topics, and I would really like to close here, David, by speaking about the Aquila High Income Fund. Could you tell us about the current positioning of the fund and how you're managing in this environment?
Sure. So as you know, Matt, we kind of manage the fund a little bit more conservatively than your traditional high yield mandate. We do have a slightly shorter duration and an up in quality bias. We feel with that kind of strategy and philosophy, especially now, we feel the fund is well prepared to weather the uncertainties we may experience in the coming quarters. Although we may see, credit spreads tick a bit tighter in the near term, a higher for longer environment, as I mentioned earlier, likely puts a bit more pressure on underlying credit fundamentals, as well as putting pressure on the overall consumer. I don't have to tell you that the housing market has suffered a bit with higher mortgages, and as consumers carry more and more credit card debt, that interest expense is going to put pressure on consumers as well. And car loans, personal loans, everything related to where rates are in absolute terms is going to grind through the economy. So at some point we may see a bit of a downturn, although probably not the full-blown recession that people are expecting in 2023. In addition, we have geopolitical risk overseas, and don't forget, we have the upcoming presidential election. So a combination of all these things could cause some unexpected volatility. Hence, I really feel comfortable that our shorter duration, as I mentioned earlier, that higher quality portfolio could, mitigate some of these risks. And over the course of 2024, we might see coupon-like returns total returns for the year, as we feel this truly rewards active management that has the ability to navigate the aforementioned uncertainties.
Thank you, David. That sums up our podcast for today. Thank you for the wonderful insight as we navigate these markets, David, and thank you for joining us today.
My pleasure, Matt.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. The information is general in nature and not intended to provide investment, accounting, tax, or legal advice. It is not intended to represent a recommendation or solicitation related to any particular investment, security, or industry sector. The opinions shared are those of the portfolio manager and not necessarily reflective of those of the investment advisor of the fund. The fund's primary objective is to obtain a high level of current income. Capital appreciation is a secondary objective when in line with the primary. The fund invests at least 80% of net assets in income-producing securities and as much as 100% in high-yield, lower-rated, or unrated debt securities. The fund is suitable for long-term investors seeking high potential returns than more conservative fixed income funds and who are willing to accept the higher risks of price and income fluctuations. Information regarding holdings is subject to change and is not necessarily representative of the entire portfolio. A complete list of the fund's current holdings, including percentage allocations, is available on our website and by contacting Aquila Group of Funds. Securities of the companies referenced for portfolio holdings of Aquila High Income Fund represented as a percentage of the fund's total portfolio as of 12/31/2023. Ford Motor Company, 1.89%. Ford Motor Credit Company, LLC, 1.07%. And Occidental Petroleum Corporation, 1.20%. The Bloomberg U.S. High Yield Index is an unmanaged index considered representative of the universe of fixed-rate, non-investment-grade debt. The Bloomberg U.S. Aggregate Bond Index is an unmanaged index considered representative of the universe of fixed-rate, investment-grade taxable debt. An investment cannot be made directly in an index. Performance on an index does not reflect management fees and expenses which are reflected in the fund's performance. Past performance does not guarantee future results. Please refer to the fund's prospectus for a complete description of risks associated with an investment in the fund. These include, but are not limited to, potential loss of value, market risks, financial risk, interest rate and credit risk, and investments in highly leveraged companies, lower quality debt securities, foreign markets, and foreign currencies. Before investing in the fund, carefully read about and consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, expenses, and other information found in the fund's prospectus. The prospectus is available from your financial advisor and when you call 1-800-437-1020 or visit www.aquilafunds.com.